So, Gail, can you give me an example of an experience you had that you believe prepared you to be a U.S. Member of Congress?
Just one, I would probably pick today my military experience.
And what specific experience when you were in the military?
I began my career when the Vietnam War was going on in 1971. So I was an Air Force pilot at the time, and so in training, and thought that I might be assigned to Southeast Asia. As it turned out, the war completed, and I did not get sent to that direction, but was knowledgeable about the events taking place and the cost that war played on individuals and the nation. And so I think that's very important today, because what we see today is a world that's not all peaceful. It is a world that has all types of difficulties, from the Ukraine to Syria to Central African Republic to Korea, where we have a fellow that continues to starve and otherwise abuses people. So it's a rough world, and if you don't understand that, you have inadequate background to deal with those international events.
What do you think is the one thing you can do in Congress to help create jobs in Iowa?
It's a key platform that I have and that I've been articulating for since the beginning of my campaign. I think one of the quickest things that could and should be done is to lower the corporate tax rate, to ask or to incentivize our global corporations to bring some of their cash that they have overseas back to the United States. Once cash returns to the balance sheet of a company, they typically invest that in to do jobs, new opportunities, and that creates jobs.
An Iowa poll in March shows 65% of those polled support an increase in the minimum wage. Would you support a minimum wage increase?
I would suggest that that poll is probably outdated. The Federal Reserve Chairman recently spoke about the effects that that raise would have now on the economy, and it would not be favorable. I have previously said that I think what happens if that would occur is there would be lots of jobs lost for the 18 to 24-year-old category. Now, that said, I think that perhaps things could be done in terms of writing a increase in a minimum, such as exceptions for certain types of positions, those held by high school students, for example, exclude those and others. So I think that's a negotiable item that I think everyone favors that, and I think the market will soon take us to that position.
The proposed changes to the renewable fuel standard seem to signal that the administration may move away from a grain-based alternatives to conventional fuels. What would you do in Washington to work in a bipartisan manner on energy policy that would benefit Iowans and still have national appeal?
A number of things. I think that we have to continue to sustain the current levels and standards, because I don't believe there's evidence, economically speaking, to show that there is any increase in the price of foods because of the use of grain byproducts in our fuel. So, one, I'd like to see that those levels are maintained. Second, I believe that the Keystone pipeline is a must. Right now, we transport that type of oil product by rail car, which is totally inefficient and has some risk to it, which we've already seen. And I think the opening of the pipeline, as it's been redesigned around the aquifer, makes it safe. I think the Alaska pipeline shows how safe pipelines are today. And so opening that pipeline, allowing exportation of liquid natural gas, I think would help with our energy independence and help our economy and have a real impact on the globe, perhaps even a peace dividend from that.
Even with a former Iowa governor heading up the Ag Department, farmers were kept in limbo for years over new farm policies. How will you represent the interests of agriculture and rural communities in an environment that's heavily urban?
Iowa is a state that has a substantial agriculture economy, and we demonstrate how good that is by having a very low unemployment rate, lower than the national average. And so there's certain models that one can offer the nation. The food costs we want to keep low. And so I think by articulating those positions, I think I can work across party lines. And that's been a difficulty, I think, is the party's not speaking to each other. And so I think that's very important that we understand that we are the breadbasket probably of the globe and need to be careful of the costs. And I think that that will be something that most congressmen, whether they're Democrat or Republican, would work towards is keeping our food costs low.
You're campaigning to join Congress at a time when its approval ratings are some of the lowest in history, hovering in the low to mid-teens in most cases. How do you think we got to this point?
By being too partisan, I might mention that when I signed up for the military and starting in ROTC, there was a lot of diverse opinions on the war at that time. And so I thought it was my duty to sign up and respond when the country needed me. And I think it's a similar situation today, is I think parties have been too polarized, and that's both parties. I have been involved with litigation for 30 years and realize through that experience that that's not a way to run a business or a government, and one must listen and seek common ground with both sides. When you keep in mind that the goal is the best government for the money, then I think most parties should be reasonable. And there will be a few that never see it that way. But I think the vast majority of Congress people will be looking towards a common goal. We have to today because our debt is a threat to us.
And the news media right now is describing you as the more moderate candidate, and you call yourself an old-time Republican. In what areas can you imagine compromising with the other party to get something accomplished for Iowa? And what specifically did you mean by old-time Republican?
A lot of questions there. So I believe across the board I can work with the Democratic Party and trying to seek common ground. And so let me quickly run through those. One, social issues. I believe that that a person's personal decisions are moral issues, and those best addressed through our moral portion of our country. Most of the time that's through religious beliefs, but not only that, others. And I think government should play a smaller role. We have guidance on those social issues. We have enough guidance. Let me take you to immigration. I would believe that Speaker Boehner is trying his best to get the Republicans in his caucus to join with Democrats, moderate Democrats, and solve the immigration issues. I think it's solvable. Last year, the Senate passed a bill that I think captured the essence of what we need, which is securing our southern border and dealing with those that have come to this country illegally. I think an energy policy, which I've articulated earlier, has to be reestablished. I think at it's an example where I think the administration's playing politics with that Keystone Pipeline, and it is hurting jobs because I think opening that pipeline opens jobs, it lowers energy costs, more discretionary income. That means more dollars for consumer items, frankly. I think on the national debt, one area we haven't covered, jobs, I think I've already addressed, and I think that moderate Democrats would agree that there is a way to incentivize our corporations to bring money back, which then gets reinvested, creates jobs. But let's go to the debt, and I think moderate Democrats would agree across the board that our debt is jeopardizing the future of our Social Security and our Medicare. And so I speak to a lot of young people I'm saying in their 30s and 20s that say Social Security won't be available for us, and they could be right. So I believe that we as a Congress need to address that issue and do something now so that those programs are sustainable into our future. And I believe that reasonable people in both parties will be able to study that, see that, and come to a solution.
Mm-hmm. Nearly every candidate running for office says they want to cut government waste and bring down the deficit. Name a program or department you would cut and why.
I would cut the Department of Education because as a former school board member, I believe education is local. The state of Iowa has done extremely well in supporting education and having our students trained for and educated for a global economy. And so I think we've been successful. I think probably what happens is those states that have failed programs have reached to the federal level and asked for their assistance. And I think that's been disastrous. So those states need to adopt stronger state programs, and traditionally, education is a state function driven by state policies. The federal government has been responsible for national defense. So the Department of Education would be a first cut, I believe.
Are we spending enough on national defense?
I wish I knew more, but I would say I think we are. Take into consideration that the Chinese have increased their military expenditures by a large amount. I don't have at the tip of my tongue right now exactly what that is, but I've read information that tells me the Chinese are expanding their military role rapidly. I read things about their ships running into Vietnamese ships. They're trying to take control over a Philippine island and a Japanese island. That's all suggesting sort of a strength that they believe they have and they can back up by a military posture. So I think we always have to have a strong military posture. We likely have cuts available. And again, let me take you back to Congress. I believe the Pentagon wants to cut certain bases, yet congressmen who would have cuts in employment in their district don't want to have blocked those. So I think the military has been handcuffed to a certain extent and not allowed to cut in areas that they want to cut because of politics. So let's get politics out of our military. Let's have a military that's lean, mean, and effective. And I think perhaps a little cut back because we wouldn't expect a World War II type action. Do we expect actions with special forces? Yes. Do we need a strong Navy? Do we need a strong Air Force? Yes. So we have to be careful about cuts and what an impact that has on other countries.
Immigration reform is an issue important to Iowa, but it's stalled in Congress. What immigration reforms would you support?
I'd support the Senate bill that was passed last June.
According to figures from NASA, 97% of climate scientists agree that climate warming trends over the past century are very likely due to human activities, and most of the leading scientific organizations worldwide have issued public statements endorsing this position. Where do you stand on global warming and climate change?
I believe the science behind that is accurate, and I can believe that there are some impact that humans have. Because there's more of us, we consume more energy than we ever have in the past. I don't have this knowledge, and I would seek that knowledge to say what's happened over time, because you know, the world was once inhabited by dinosaurs, and they went away. So is there a natural sequence of events that occur that makes the world colder, hotter? And again, I'll defer to the scientist, but I would also believe that we as humans have had an impact, and so we have to look at that impact and say, how can we address those issues?
Gail Bolivar, thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much.